Welcome into this week's Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. I'm Jessica Cootey and joined this week by tight end Thomas Fedoni. Thanks so much for being here with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, tough week last week for the team. How have you guys responded coming off the performance at Indiana and practices throughout this week?
Yeah, obviously it's not the outcome that we wanted or expected. Going in there, we put a lot of hard work in that week. You know, we went in there with a lot of confidence expecting to, you know, win the game. And when something like that happens, you kind of look at things. You have to look at things, you know, the next week through kind of a different lens and see, you know, what happened and why did that happen. But you know, I think as a team, we believe we're just as good as we always have been and always have said we are. And last week, you know, we just had to, you know, take care of those mistakes we made last week and fix them for this week coming Saturday.
What was the messaging from some of the leaders like yourself on the team going into this week? Like, we're better than this, and we got to fix what we did last week.
Yeah, pretty much exactly that. Obviously, in different messages and ways. But really, kind of something I said to the team is, it's really just about, you know, in my opinion, belief. You have to believe it. You can't just say something just because, you know, to get people's hopes up, and you know, you can't just blow smoke. You know, you have to say what you believe in, and when you play that way, you're going to build confidence, you know, on the field, you know, each play. You know, you have to believe we are who we say we are. You can't just say it, otherwise it doesn't mean anything. And it means more coming from older guys, the ones who, you know, are out there playing, obviously, and then but it means a lot to the young guys too, to really see, I guess, what it kind of takes, I guess, in a way. So really just about, you know, just belief and believing who we say we are.
What is the belief? I mean, how much do you guys believe in this team and the guys in that locker room?
Oh, I mean, I believe that we believe as much as you possibly can. I mean, I'm not going to say that something, you know, like those things happen, because the way that it happened, that doesn't happen, but there's a lot of things that when you watch the tape that we left out there, they turned it into the way that it was, you know, score-wise and stuff like that. But I know that this team believes we are, you know, we can be a really good team. We can do all, I mean, we're 5-2. It's not like we're sitting here 1-5, you know, 2-5, 2-3, you know, or whatever. We're a good team, and you have to believe that. Otherwise, you're not going to play with confidence. You're not going to go out there and play fast, play physical, just things we kind of preach. You have to go out there and play like we know we're capable of.
You were one of the bright spots on Saturday, though, a career day for you in receptions and receiving yards. What went into that for you and allowed you to really get going on Saturday?
Honestly, I just, you know, you, as like a player, you kind of, once, you know, things start kind of flowing for you, you kind of just get in like this flow state, you know, where things just kind of happen and it's going, and it kind of just, you don't really think about it. You just kind of get the ball and make the play, or make the block, or, you know, I don't know. It's kind of just weird. Like, the time goes by fast. Everything just goes by fast. You're just kind of in a zone, you know, in the zone. Nothing, I wouldn't say like anything really went into it, I guess. I don't know. Like, it wasn't like there were planned plays to give me the ball, you know. It's just Dylan going through his progression, throwing the ball, and then, you know, just trying to make plays after the catch.
Both you and Dylan have talked about this throughout the last few weeks, just continuing to build that connection and him trusting you in a way. How has that progressed, and how, I guess, comfortable and confident are you guys in each other now throughout the course of now over half of a season?
Yeah, it's definitely built a lot. You know, I think it really started to take off after that Illinois game. You know, when, you know, he was kind of scrambling, trying to find players, get players open, and he found me a few times down the field for some important gains and whatnot. I think that's kind of where it took off, and then obviously in practice and everything. We've always had a good connection, but, like, just like in the game, I think it's really started building on that Illinois game. That's what I think. But I think it's been really good. Me and him have always been, like, we've been close since the day he got here. We've put a lot of work in, and just continuing to build that connection each week, each practice, each day has been good.
You've always been an elite pass catcher, but you talked a lot, you know, coming into the season on the other areas of your game that you wanted to improve. So far, how do you feel like that has gone for you? So far, how do you evaluate your play in the other areas besides just catching the football?
Oh, yeah. I think that I have improved immensely in terms of like blocking and things like that. Now, obviously, you know, I always say this, but there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be things that aren't perfect. And I'm not going to be where I want to be. I'm the type of person that I'm a perfectionist. I look at something and it's really good. It could be better. And I'm going to have plays that are like, that's horrible. But really, to me, it's just about kind of responding and how you respond. You can't let one play affect the next play, Otherwise, you know, you're never going to be the player that you want to be. So no, I think my blocking and everything like that has gotten a lot better in terms of like from like last year when I turned on the tape. I almost don't even like watching myself last year, to be honest with you, just because of like I think I'm a completely different player, kind of just all around, you know, this year. So I think it's gotten a lot better.
What is that process like of getting better in blocking and being the all around tight end that you want to be?
It's hard, you know, just because you know as a tight end, it's harder to find, in my opinion, it's harder to find a tight end that can do a little bit of everything. Usually there's tight ends that are like really good at route running or pass catching, or they're just a really good blocker. Being able to be really good at, you know, running routes, catching the ball, you know, staying under blocks, maintaining blocks, and being physical in the blocks and being able to, you know, finish players, it's harder. It's obviously a lot harder to be all around than it is to be kind of more one-dimensional. So I feel like just, you know, every practice focusing on little things in each one of those like categories makes it a lot harder, but it's also fun because you're able to, I don't know, focus, like I kind of just said, but you're able to, instead of like just focusing on one thing, you get to focus on multiple different things to get better at it. So I think it's more fun.
You know, you think about your journey and you came in with such high expectations and then had the setbacks. Do you ever think about now where you're at and what you had to get through to get to this point?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I remember it was some, not like dark times, but like it was some pretty sad times, you know. I mean, coming in, you know, obviously the way things kind of all happened and whatnot, definitely not the way that I planned it to go. But I really wouldn't take any of it back. I'd do everything the same way. I know it's maybe a better player overall. I mean, I just hit 21 miles an hour today on Catapult, you know, and not saying anything like, whatever, but like it hasn't slowed me down. It hasn't made me weaker or anything like that. I'm better than I was in terms of like route running and blocking, obviously, things like that. So there was a lot of learning lessons throughout those injuries that I was able to, you know, kind of get through and just kind of help. It helps me now in my game and just kind of in life too. It's just, you know, it's not always going to be the instant gratification. You have to kind of, you know, obviously work for things, but it just makes you a lot more mentally tough, I think, you know.
Yeah, coming in as the number one tight end out of high school and then being the process that you had to go through, how did you manage just all the expectations and the things that people maybe thought that you would do immediately and just, again, navigating that as someone that's got a lot of eyeballs on you? You know, what would be your message to maybe somebody that was in a similar situation of how you get through that?
For me, I was always like not cocky. I was always extremely confident in myself. So I always like whenever someone had the expectation, I feel like mine was always higher. So I feel like that sounds cocky, but I don't know. I'm extremely hard on myself. Like it was bad when I first got here. To like I would make one mistake or just a little mistake or something like that, and it would kind of just throw my whole practice off because I would just focus on that mistake the whole time, and it would just make me mad. Whereas like, you know, kind of like I just said, you can't let one mistake you know, take over the whole practice. And that's something that I've grown at a lot, just kind of not letting one thing ruin my day. And I think a lot of that comes from confidence, you know, playing, just inexperience. You know, there's always going to be people that are going to have expectations. And if you don't have, you know, arrived to those expectations right away, there's always going to be someone to tear you down or build you up to tear you down. There's going to be someone to tear you down. You know, there's always going to be people out there. But I don't know. I just think that, like I was kind of saying, like the more you are able to do something and build that confidence, and when you know you're a good player, like you know you're a good player. There's not anyone, not a coach, no one. And we kind of talked about this in a meeting actually, but there's not anyone who can tell you that you're not. So like, you know, I can read all these messages, Twitter, DMs, whatever, people saying whatnot, either good or bad. Like I know what type of player I am, so like I don't really care what people say, to be honest with you. And I guess that's what I would tell someone coming in is like, you know what type of player you are. If you know what type of player you are and you truly like are confident in yourself and your abilities, then no one can tell you that you're not that person.
Great message. Well, I read an article. You've been basically a football player since what, you were two?
Yeah, I was young. I was really young, yeah, when I went and all started.
So what was it about, you know, from a young age that you were just in love with football and had this desire to play this game?
Honestly, it's a lot of it comes from like my family and my dad. I have a pretty crazy family, like in a good way, you know, typical Italian family. I've said that before, but like, you know, we'd all go to my grandparents' house when I was as young as I can remember. And we'd like, you know, we'd be had the Husker game on, and my uncles have literally put holes in the ceiling from their heads, jumping up and hitting the ceiling with their head, like in excitement. And then there's, if you can imagine that in excitement, then you can imagine that when things aren't going well. So I just remember at a young age, like just the highs, lows. I remember, you know, being, you know, in like a Nebraska helmet from Walmart and my dad hitting me and the helmet popping off and, you know, him like kind of saying, get up, let's go again type deal. And out in the backyard, and it was, and playing with my cousins, like during like Thanksgiving when like I was playing, and, you know, kind of like going through the plays, you know, I was like thinking that we're out there, and hearing the TV and everything. I think that's kind of where it all started, honestly. It was just kind of, it's like, it all started from like a family thing. We're big physical family, love football, love physicality. That's kind of where it all started, I think.
All right, Halloween is right around the corner. Your number one Halloween costume was?
Yeah, I was a Husker for like probably, I don't know, 8-9 years, every year. I don't know, I might've been like an Army guy, I think, once, but other than that, I was a Husker player, yeah.
Being from Iowa, why the Huskers?
Well, I went to high school in Iowa, but I was born and raised in Omaha. And my family's typical Nebraska fans, so I just, you know, you get raised into it, and I was that way. I remember having like fights with like kids in like fourth, fifth grade about Iowa and how much they were horrible and why Nebraska was better when I was just a little kid. So, yeah, I've always been a Nebraska kid.
You just didn't know anything else other than Nebraska.
Yeah, no, I think I might have been disowned if it was anything else.
So, from that kid that just was playing in the front yard or whatever to being the number one tight end in the country, how did you get there? What was that process of becoming the best in the country?
I think, well, obviously a lot of it was like, you know, belief, kind of as we talked about earlier. Like I remember coming into high school and I was like in eighth grade, and a lot of the high schoolers did not like me because I would always say like, I'm going to go D1 or, you know, whatever. Just kind of like this cocky little eighth grader that was excited about high school, excited to play varsity football as any other eighth grader is and whatever. And, you know, had big dreams and goals. But, they're, you know, as a high schooler, you're like, whatever, this kid needs to shut up. He's annoying and cocky. So I was pretty disliked at first in eighth grade until I was able to show. But, like, just like a whole buildup, I think, you know, my dad was always a really good athlete. And he didn't push me towards football or anything like that. I mean, he did, but he always kind of raised me off of, like, what not to do. Like, if you do this, like, but it wasn't like I was going to get punished if I went out and did something stupid. Like, obviously I would, but, like, he basically said, all right, if you want to go, you know, party and do all of the stuff that normal kids do, you're not going to be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish kind of deal. Like, he would teach me off of what not to do instead of, like, punish me for doing the wrong thing, if that makes sense. So, like, it was always a little easier to make the decision not to do anything stupid or just go out and party or stay up late and play video games and eat terrible foods and, you know, do all the stuff that normal high school or middle school or kids get into. And he would just teach me off his mistakes. Like, if I did this and look at me, like, I could have been something, you know, good too, but I didn't have the same opportunities you do, and I didn't have the person telling me, you know, when I was in high school to do this and do that, and now I'm telling you. So, like, you have a huge opportunity here. But if you want to go do those other things, you're not going to get that opportunity. So that's kind of how I think a lot of it unfolded. And then obviously a lot of drive, you know, doing things a lot of people kids don't want to do, you know, instead of going to parties, I remember, and stuff like that, I'd go to like Warren Academy and use like the field and, you know, work out and stuff like that. And, you know, I missed out on prom, missed out on a lot of stuff like graduating early. And a lot of kids don't do that, even with the opportunity that we have. So, like, there's just a lot of sacrifices, I would say, that I made that most kids don't, I think. And that's kind of a big reason, I think, is why how everything kind of unfolded.
So you had all these offers coming in. How did it feel when you got the one from Nebraska?
Yeah, it felt good. I was actually really mad at Nebraska, I remember, because I came here for camp, I remember. I didn't have any offers, and I, like, did really, really well. And I remember, like, them just pulling me aside and, like, saying, we'll talk to you. Like, we might be in touch or something like that. And I was like, okay. And then I went to, like, Iowa, and they offered me and told me I was going to – it's kind of weird, actually. Iowa offered me and told me I was going to be the number one tight end in the country before, when I only had one offer. And they told me, all like, basically what was going to happen and stuff like that. And then I think Nebraska, like, my third or fourth offer. So I was, like, mad Nebraska. I remember I was like, I'm not going there kind of deal. And but it kind of does also change. Like, even though I was born and raised a Nebraska fan, once you, like, get those opportunities at other places, you don't really – I'm always still a Nebraska fan, but you have to look at, like, opportunities, you know, play style, offense, scheme, coaches. So you really it really didn't matter to me, on to be completely honest with you, that I was a Nebraska fan. You know, I was committed to Iowa a few times. I loved LSU, Michigan, a lot of those places. And then I just developed a really good relationship with the, you know, old Titans coach here, and that's kind of what sold it for me.
So do you ever, though, that being said, being that Nebraska's what got you into football, you're wearing that Walmart helmet, do you ever think about that now when you're putting on the actual helmet?
I do, I think, more after the fact. Like when I'm doing it and, like, ready for the game, I don't really think about it too much because I'm thinking about so much other stuff. But, like, I after the fact of, like, you know, or, like, a big game, I think, you know. Like, I remember when we played Iowa last year, it crossed my mind because it's always, like, a rivalry, or it's Thanksgiving time, and that's usually, like, when I'm, like, about to watch a game with my family, stuff like that. Like, it definitely does cross my mind, but I think it's more after the fact when I'm, like, reading something, like an article, or reading something about, you know, kind of like a catch that I made and something like that. It's like a dream that I had when I was a kid, and, you know, it came to, like, fruition and kind of stuff like that, I think, you know.
The number 24, it's significant to you. Why?
Yeah, so it's been like a family number my whole life, and I never really wore it. I was always like my cousins and stuff like that. I never really wore 24. I was always like 26 or 32. Because I was actually running back in the day, but my cousins wore it, and it was my uncle's favorite number, and he passed away on January 24th of 2017, so that's kind of why I wear it.
What does it mean to you to put that on then every single day and represent your family?
It means a lot. I mean, I kind of lived with my uncle a little bit throughout, like, high school, because I went to school out of district, so I lived with him. Like, I would travel and, like, go stay at his house and hang out with him all the time. And obviously we were very close. So, yeah, that's kind of why I wear it.
What role did he play in you becoming the player and the person that you are?
He was always extremely positive. Like, he would always tell you what you can be, I guess, you know, kind of what you want to do. And he would see you for what you could be, not, like, what you were in the moment. Like, I used to be like a... I was like, when I was like a eighth grade, seventh grade, I was like taller, gangly, kind of, you know, but I was always like very athletic, coordinated, and whatnot. But he would always like see you for what you were, and he was always extremely positive and extremely loving. I like to think that he's always, you know, kind of there watching and stuff like that. So I care with him quite, I mean, as much as I possibly can think about it. So
you started off talking about the big family and celebrating, watching football games. What are they like now, watching you in a Husker uniform now these days?
I'm not always there, so I don't always get to see it, but I know my uncles are either really upset, really happy, or, you know, I don't think it's changed, honestly, you know, but I know my dad's excited every time I get to, you know, put the uniform on. He comes to games and watch. My grandma, grandpa, same thing. My grandma comes every game. My grandpa watches every game, so I know that they are definitely, like, I think they look at me as the little kid wearing the Walmart uniform, you know, that kind of everything that I said I was going to be, I did. So I think that's how they think about it.
Oh, that's great. All right, well, let's, I guess, circle back to this week. First of all, for you personally, how do you build off of what you were able to do last week and carry that into another week and against another big opponent?
I think just, you know, kind of just sticking to just what I know, you know, not like basics, but just, you know, going out there playing fast and confident and, you know, believing that I am who I say I am, believing I am what I say I am, you know, going out there and just making plays, being able to make plays after the catch, and just, you know, really help the offense as much as I possibly can. You know, hopefully free some things up for Dylan, kind of make him more not more confident, because I know he's confident, but like just make him feel me, like know I'm able to, know I'm always there for him. Like when, you know, if he needs, like, you know, someone to, you know, get the ball, catch, like a for sure catch for first down, something like that, you know, just make sure he knows I'm there to, you know, get that for us as a team.
And for the offense overall, I mean, obviously another big opportunity, but what are you guys looking to do to be able to get the ball going a little bit more, to get into more rhythm, to be able to put some points on the board?
I think, you know, we're just going to really just stick to what we know. And that's, you know, playing physical, you know, being the most hard-working team, most physical team. And I say that, it sounds like I always say this, but it sounds so corny, but that's it's kind of just beaten into our brains, because that's what we think about all the time. And that's how we practice. It really is. I mean, we practice extremely physical, extremely fast. And if we go out there and play the way we're capable of and play the way that we practice on a Tuesday, we're going to be just fine.
How do you guys carry that over then? How do you practice? How do you play like you practice? Because we've heard that you guys have had good weeks of preparation. How do you carry that on to a game day and do what you do on a Tuesday?
I think, you know, you can't let one bad thing kind of define the game. You can't let, you know, them scoring a touchdown, them being up 14, them being up 28, you know, it doesn't matter. You can't just like quit almost. You have to be able to stack plays. And if we play each play, you know, the way we can in the game, we're going to be fine. But we can't let our, you know, not confidence, but we can't let the way we play be the way it is because of the other team's play.
All right, how excited are you guys as competitors to be able to have this opportunity to bounce back, but against a team like Ohio State, a huge opportunity ahead for this football team?
Yeah, I mean, we just got dealt a big, crappy burger, and we got chocolate cake sitting in front of us. And if we go out there and, you know, eat the chocolate cake, we're going to be fine, but that makes sense. No, but in all seriousness, it is a huge opportunity. Obviously, being able to go out there and play against the number 4 team in the country, and that's what they are, and be able to show we are a great team, a physical team, a great offense, great defense, and just play complimentary football, special teams, everything. We're gonna come out of the game happy, you know, and be able to turn on the tape Monday morning and say, you know, we played the way we're capable of playing.
Thomas Fedoni, appreciate your time. Great stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks again to Thomas Fedoni for sitting down with us for this week's Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Husker Athletics.